Well, it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always by good friend and pastor Jason Hayes. Jason, how you doing, man?
I'm great. Good. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. You know, it's been an interesting few weeks as we you went to India for a day and then
2 hours
for 2 hours and I haven't done that, but I went to Atlanta a couple weeks ago to a big conference, and so trying to get back in the swing of things. This week is a big missions week for some churches in town, and so my day job at Hope Resource Center, we're going to be doing some work at different churches around. So just a big week, you know.
Yeah, lots of exciting stuff in the life of Shoreline Church. We've made the transition to three services. And, man, it's gone really, really well. We're doing this series entitled, Why Are We Yelling? We're talking about civility and often the lack thereof in our community and how the church really needs to be people of humility and love. And this last week, we actually talked about uninformed, unnecessary, and unhelpful opinions. You mm-hmm. were there. And I shared just one specific circumstance in which...
Yeah.
You know, may really illustrate quite well how sometimes we throw ourselves into situations unnecessarily. And I shared with our body that we had been at dinner on Saturday night with several friends. And it was this classic case where one person sees something who then says something, which then incites someone next to them to do something, which then led the whole group to do something else. And it felt really right when this friend of ours said, look, they're getting engaged, about a group of people that were at the table next to us. And so immediately one of the gentlemen in our group clapped and we all clapped. And we then within about a second and a half realized the absolute terror on what appears to be about a 13-year-old girl who was receiving what we assume was a purity ring from her father. Mm. And yet we were cheering on her engagement. Man. As if that is not already, I wouldn't say an awkward, but maybe a tad awkward for a teenage girl to be experiencing in a public restaurant, to then have 15 adults at the table next to her doing that. Bad news, man. Yeah, so unnecessary, uninformed, unhelpful opinions. We're trying to say, hey, how do we be wise?
You know, if I may,
you may.
I guess my suggestion to Shoreline is do a little bit more relevant series, because the civility in our country is just at an all-time high. No one's yelling.
Right.
No one is outraged. No one is upset at anyone. And so I feel like this series, I don't know, some people may go, I don't know what this has to do with my life.
Speaking of unnecessary, there we go. This series. Good grief, it has been a week.
It has.
I mean, all this Kavanaugh stuff, we were talking off air. We are not going to touch it, but it has been
Find me a hot mess. And I'll have a lot of opinions for you, but I'm not going to give those on here.
An absolute hot mess. But what we're going to talk today about is actually parenting. And one of the things we often do is we try to just keep our eyes to you know, what's coming across the headlines, whether it's in social media or our mainstream media. And there was an article this week that talked about this new expression that actually I had not heard.
I hadn't heard a ton
mm-hmm. of people talk about helicopter parenting, where, you know, parents come in, they kind of pull their children out
of circumstances. I'm sure nobody listening to this is one of those.
No, certainly not. And so parents come in, they basically rescue their children out of hard circumstances. But the expression was a lawnmower parent.
Yeah, a lawnmower
How did they
parent.
Describe it?
Yeah, so a lawnmower parent is one that comes in, I guess, like a lawnmower, and removes obstacles.
Just mows
all
things
of them.
Down.
Mows them down and really takes everything a step forward in saying, look, our child is not going to have any rough days. We want to remove any possibility of things going the wrong way, and we want them to get their way in every possible outcome, which probably is not. You're the pastor, but I don't think that's biblical.
I don't believe it's biblical, helpful, or just really even thoughtful at
all. No, not at all.
But it does happen. And so today what we're going to be talking about is parenting, not so much just in that context, but really parenting in the larger context of what is our responsibility as parents? How do we look at parenting through a biblical worldview? How do we see the gospel in the midst of that process? Andrew's got a slew of children. I've got a slew of children. We can't keep up with how many we have.
That's a lot.
But it's a gift, man. It is such a gift, and it's a gift that we have to steward well.
It's one that it's difficult too. I think at times you know before I had kids, I heard people always say, you know, there's nothing better than parenting, but also it's very hard and difficult. And there's going to be moments where no one is getting along, not just the siblings, but the parents and the children. And so what we don't want you to do is hear this and go, man, Jason and Andrew just really have it all figured out, because I can't speak for you. I'm not in your home. But I can assure you there's plenty of times where I fail as a dad. I act out in anger because I'm frustrated or because I'm in the middle of something. But what we have to do is look at our children as gifts. At Hope Resource Center, when I get an opportunity to talk to a expecting dad, what I usually tell them, because they're nervous and they're scared and they're thinking about abortion or having the baby, what they need to do. And what I tell them is something that I constantly tell myself, that the Lord picked me out of everyone that not just in the country right now and in the world right now, but everyone that's ever walked the face of this earth. The Lord picked me and Aaron to be the parents to Gavin, Summer, Evelyn,
you're
Charlie.
You're struggling.
Their names.
You're struggling.
Gavin, Summer, Evelyn, and Charlie. Those are my kids. And so the Lord picked us out of, he could have picked anyone.
Right.
And so that truth alone means that, okay, I've been given this gift. Now we need to step in and steward that gift well.
Right. And we see this biblically. I mean, there are all kinds of examples where the Lord provides any number of things, and stewardship is the larger principle that's to be drawn out of that text, out of that that narrative. And this is the same for parenting. I mean, it is a gift that God has entrusted us with, that you don't just receive a gift and say thank you. Mm-hmm. You actually care for the gift. And we could look at Abraham and Sarah. We could look at any number of other, you know, pictures of parenting in the scriptures and say this is something that we have to realize has been entrusted to us by a holy God who is sovereign in every way. And so thus, we really have to feel the weight and the magnitude of this. And one of the things we'll talk about here a little bit later is that it's not just something we are constantly reactive in, mm-hmm. but something that we also want to be really proactive and intentional in.
Well, and even when we look at how Jesus came about, Mary was a good steward. Mary and Joseph were a good steward of the gift given. And I think the Lord in that picture is saying that birth is and pregnancy is an amazing thing that our Savior, our God even was a part of.
Right.
And so we see that. And again, we're going to have moments of failure. We're going to have moments where we're not good stewards.
Right.
We're going to have moments where we just hand a screen to our kids and say, okay, go, you know,
let's just shut it down for a minute. Are you implying that you have given your children your telephone while at a meal?
Telephone. I've given them my telephone. That is what I'm talking about.
Your Zach Morris telephone.
My telephone from the wall. I've given them the telephone.
You've given your cell phone to entertain them during a meal or something.
You know, there are going to be times where we need a break.
Yes.
And there's also going to be times where our kids, no matter how great we assume or think they are, my oldest is 7 and he already knows like how to talk back. He already knows certain buttons to push and because we're sinners,
right?
We react to those buttons being pushed instead of parenting in the way that would be a good steward and pointing them in the right direction. We lose our mind. And one thing that in those moments, what's very hard to do is to then look at your child and say, look, daddy messed up.
Right.
I was wrong. Right. And, please forgive me. Those are hard things to do that I'll be honest. My dad never did growing up. And so
you're still waiting on that.
Yeah.
Dad.
Yeah. So it wasn't modeled well for me. And so now trying to figure that out as we walk through that. And also there's moments where you give 50 chances.
Right.
And you probably shouldn't have given two.
Right.
You probably should have nipped it right then, but instead you keep giving those chances. So it's a struggle to try to figure out the best way to do it, the best way to steward this gift and pray that you're pointing them in the right direction.
Right. And I think that's it. And that's where we kind of wanted to start, today's time is that we really do want our children to look to us as parents. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think there's a temptation in our culture for our children to look to us as friends. Excuse me. Our children have plenty of great friends. They don't need me to necessarily be their BFF. They really need me to parent them. They need me to guide them. Now, do I believe that as they get older and we're going to be able to experience some of those nuances
sure.
of relationship and friendship? I look forward to those days. And even with my oldest son, who's 12 now, we're beginning to step into that stuff. But they need us to parent. They need to see us also as who we are, people that want God's best for them, but also people that sometimes fall short of the glory of God.
Right.
And that's why we desperately need Jesus. And so one of the things that we're trying to say so continually here with Shoreline Church, in our congregation is that we're saying, listen, our responsibility as a church is not to take the responsibility off of you as a parent in raising your children. We look to parents to be the primary disciple makers of their children. And, and so thus we're going to come alongside, but we're not going to replace you.
Well, and that's not the design of God's either, but we should look at that the same way when our kids are at school. That, yeah, they're learning and being taught, but they better be learning and being taught at home as well.
Right.
When it comes to the gospel, what I would love for my children to say is, yeah, mom and dad led me to Christ.
Right.
We know that there's moments where we point to, I think we've all had those moments where we point to someone we connected with at church that helped in that process. But what an amazing story if your children can look back and go, yeah, mom and daddy just always talked about the gospel, and they're the ones that ultimately pointed me to Christ. Now, it might have been the youth pastor or the kids pastor or someone that had deeper conversations at times, but ultimately the foundation was built by mom and dad.
Right.
And that's a goal that we should all set as Christians.
Yeah, and we actually as a church have been maybe a little bit different than some. We actually choose to avoid certain things like baptisms at camp and times that are kind of away from families, because I just know for me, and there's always exceptions, and there's certainly children and teenagers that make commitments for Christ that don't have parents that are believers and things of that sort. But if we are indeed investing into our children to the degree that we hope that they are, man, I don't want to be responsible for robbing that amazing experience that could come alongside a family. We want to be careful with that.
Yeah, and when we come back from the break, I think that's a good place to start, is talking about intentionality and understanding that our homes should be a place where disciples are being made.
Right.
Not just the church, but at our home. Not just down the road, but inside the walls of our home. Are we seeing that as a mission field with our children? We'll be back. So today the topic of conversation is parenting.
And experts. We are experts.
We are parents. I will say that. I'm a dad. You're a dad. We're all dads. Hey.
And by experts, we mean just trying our absolute best under the guides of God's grace. We are talking about it.
Yeah. Today. And I often joke when people talk about daughters and they say, man, the teenage years are tough. And then I say, well, man, I'm just glad the Lord didn't give me any daughters, but the fact is he gave me three.
Right.
And he gave me one son. And so as I'm watching them grow, I'm already being able to pick out, okay, the son there's going to be moments where we butt heads for sure. I'm looking at my daughters already and I'm going, okay, that one is going to be an amazing mom one day. She is just bent that way.
Right.
And then our third is very much, maybe a liar. She's just two right now, but man, she can tell some stories.
We're not 100% certain, but she's on the trajectory towards compulsive lying.
Or a comedian and just a great storyteller, which could possibly happen.
It's amazing how different their personalities all are.
It is shocking. It is shocking to watch and remember, okay, when this one was two, how did they act versus this one? And it is night and day.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable,
so,
the difference.
So it's interesting that, so we have three boys. My oldest son, it's interesting that he and I actually have a really unique bond, but we also, without question, butt heads mm-hmm. the most. And I don't think that's so much because he's 12 and right. the others are younger. No, I think it is really, as we even kind of joke and find some bond in the, not in the heat of the moment, but he's so much like I am. Mm-hmm. And so we really do butt heads. My middle son, so much like Carrie. Our youngest son's kind of a mix of the two yep. of us. It's just crazy how different their personalities are. But as we're talking again today, we still have this joint responsibility with our spouses, or if you're a single parent out there listening, we have this responsibility, no matter how unique our children may be, how different they may be from one another, there's this common thread, which is disciple making in mm-hmm. our home.
Well, and the beautiful thing about parenting is, because they are so different, it's okay to parent different
right.
With each one.
Right.
Now, you may have the same rules, like, hey, you know, a bedtime is this and all of those things. It's good to have rules, but also understanding this child reacts differently to this type of discipline. This child reacts differently to this type. And maybe this child wears their emotions on their sleeve and this one bottles all that up. So how do we handle that? And that's why parenting is hard, but it's a beautiful picture of what the Lord does with us, because all of us are different,
right?
And the Lord still brings the gospel to us in many different ways, and pointing to the one truth of who Christ is. So when we think about discipling our children, for some, you may have one child that you look back and you go, I think they were saved in the womb, yeah. and they've just been a Jesus.
No, we don't doctrinally
agree
with that,
but
yes,
you point to, like, wow, they've just always right. kind of had this bent toward the gospel. And then yeah. you may have that one child that is just hard-headed and, right. and so trying to walk through that is an amazing thing that we have to understand as parents. Maybe the practice of sharing the gospel should be in our home first.
Right.
I think many of us are so open to mission trips, and we should be, but we tend to neglect at times the bedroom down the hall
right.
that houses our child.
Correct. Yeah, we want to go and take care of a child mm-hmm. In, you know, some foreign country, which is great. Praise the Lord for that. But, you know, whether it's an orphan or whether it's someone that's in a rough situation. But meanwhile, when we're in town, you know, five of our seven nights are full of us with our head tucked in our phone mm-hmm. and not paying attention to our children. We have to be really careful of that.
Yeah, if we believe the gospel is the greatest news this planet's ever seen, which as Christians we should believe that, then the last thing we want to do is hold that from our children. The last thing we want to do is just say, well, the church will take care of that on Sundays or Wednesdays or whenever.
How much have you seen that, you know, you obviously are the executive director of Hope Resource
sure.
Center now, but you have served in
yeah.
the local church in a number of different capacities. I used to be a student pastor.
Yep.
How much did you see that even within the church?
Yeah, I was a kids pastor, and it was there were moments where I had to have tough conversations with parents
right.
and say, look, I'm leaning on you to tell me what conversations
right.
have been had. I don't live in your home.
Right.
And so just bringing the child to me and saying, we think it's done, now ask them some questions. I'm like, well, is it? Have you had these conversations with them? The last thing I want to do is give us a false sense of confidence when there's been no gospel work being had in that child's life. And so that made for some tough conversations, because I think as parents, we all, especially as Christian parents, we all want our children to be saved.
Right.
And so we don't care how old they are. At times we just want it done. And then we want to go, okay, put it on the calendar. This is when it happened. Write it in the Bible.
Yep.
And now they're good. They're secure forever. And we don't believe that they can lose their salvation, but we better be very confident that, that salvation occurred in the first place.
Yeah, there's two sides of this that I've experienced. One is to what you're saying, really good-hearted,
sure, absolutely.
Good intended.
I prefer a parent be like that.
Absolutely. And yet I have also had those conversations. Traditionally for us, it's around baptism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll get this phone call or an email that says, can you meet with little Johnny? We want you to help us know if he's ready to be baptized. And I will sometimes meet with little Johnny or yeah. whoever it may be, but usually I'm telling parents, hey, I can only assess so much over this few minutes that I'm going to have with your child who probably feels a little uncomfortable and doesn't really even know why they're there answering those questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are the ones that not only are the primary disciple makers, but you're also the primary observers of fruit
mm-hmm.
or the lack thereof.
Yep.
And so if you see fruit in your child, then we're going to defer to you to say, is this child really walking in step, in faith, in Christ? And so that's a piece of it. Again, really good-hearted, good intended conversations. I've experienced the opposite side of that, though, the whole other extreme. I can remember this has been probably 15 years ago when I was in the earliest of days of ministry and serving in the local church and was serving in a student pastor role. And there was a teenager that was in our student ministry that had made a number of really, really poor decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a parent come into my office, and while in the midst of their frustration and again, tried to find some grace in that and mercy in that, understanding their mm-hmm. hurt, they're disappointed in their children's behavior. But what often would happen was they would drop their child off on a Wednesday night. Their child would often never even make it into our Wednesday evening programming, would usually slip outside away from the building, go to the store down the street, whatever it would may be. And we'd try to pass that on. But just didn't want anything to do with mm-hmm. our programming. But what that parent said to me basically was, this is your fault. And telling us that, you know, we're the ones that are responsible for making sure that their child doesn't make bad decisions and is responsible and things of that sort, all the way to the point when I pushed back on a little bit of that. They then told me, listen, we tithe, we pay your salary. This is what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's obviously a really far extreme case, and someone who has a ton of misunderstanding about giving, a ton
sure.
of misunderstanding about parenting. But it's that principle again that we have to take ownership
yep.
in the full spectrum of it, whether it's their faith, whether it is their discipline, whether it is their behavior. We can't just put that off to the side. But we also need to talk about it from the other perspective as we started today, is sometimes we get a little too far in,
mm-hmm.
a little too deep, and we're not really doing things that are helpful for them.
Yeah, and so as when we look at our children, we have to understand that we do believe the gospel is something that we long for them to see and understand. And the way to point them in that direction is that the gospel is common in our home.
Yep.
And if it's not common in our home, if mom and dad fighting is more common than gospel conversations or worship, then maybe we need to adjust some things. If they know more about our fandom when it comes to the Vols or other things than they do of the gospel, then maybe we need to adjust some things. We'll talk about that when we come back. So as we talk about parenting today, you know, it's interesting. It's something I always wanted to be a dad. I don't know about you, Jason, but I always had this longing to be a dad. And then you become a dad and, or a parent, if you're a mom out there listening, and then you're like, oh wow, this is a lot of responsibility. There's moments, especially with little ones where they're crying and they can't vocalize what's going on. And
right.
then the next thing you know, 3 hours have passed. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. But the thought process is, I'm willing to do this for as long as it takes. And there's just something about the love of a parent with a child of just, if we have to sit here 7 hours, I'm going to do that.
Right.
And so as we think about the things and the distances we would go for our children, we're willing to do that when it comes to helicoptering and making sure that they're taken care of at school and that no one is bullying them and no one's mistreating them and that obstacles are removed, like the lawnmower parent that we talked about. But when it comes to getting the gospel to them, I think at times we may say, well, that's a little bit tougher conversation.
Oh, yeah, we're easily defeated.
Yeah.
By that.
Or if your child said, maybe your child is one of those, I think we all have at least one that just ask a ton of questions. And at times we find ourselves ignoring those questions or being frustrated by those questions. But the reality is those questions may lead us into a conversation that can point them to Jesus. And I've also been guilty of, I think as dads, we want to be the hero to our children. And there for a moment, my children kind of elevated that to an unhealthy place.
When they made t-shirts.
Well, they would have if they could have.
Yeah, and through a parade every Sunday afternoon.
And so if we get to an unhealthy place, I don't want to replace Jesus. Right. I want them to know that dad is good to you, but like me, I'm not going to be the answer to everything.
Right.
And so as we talk about that, how are some ways that you've seen being in ministry and also just being a dad where it's easy to not just not have those conversations, but at times we even hinder the growth of our children?
Well, I think a lot of it for me has to go back to a real intentionality. As I referenced earlier in the show, it's so easy to be proactive, and there's no shame in that. You know, I mean, some stuff happens. Mm-hmm. Yesterday for us in our home, even as a church, I mean, there was some stuff that happened yesterday, all of which was actually really good stuff, but it was stuff you couldn't have dreamt it was going to happen that way. And sometimes you just like, we are simply along for the ride. And that happens when something happens with one of our children or, a conversation's birthed at the dinner table or mm-hmm. a circumstance happens, one of them falls, gets injured. I mean, any of those things, sometimes you just have to simply respond. And that's why we constantly are challenging our people. And I would challenge our listeners that's why we need to be people of the word. We don't just kind of live life and then hope that when a circumstance comes up, we can somehow find a Bible mm-hmm. verse that seems to apply to it and we go with it. Instead, let's be people who are saturated with the word. Let's be people who are saturated in prayer. And then we respond a little bit better. So there is the proactive piece. But for me, when it comes to disciple making, Carrie and I just have to say these are goals that we are going to set. These are intentional boundaries that we're putting in place, because otherwise I'm tired, man. Yeah. I don't know about you, but by the time we get kids to school, then a full day in the office, then getting them home and getting them to ball practice and doing dinner and then maybe another ball practice for another child and then anything that's related to church or mm-hmm. anything other that's happened in their communities or in their social life, then boom, it's 9 o'clock at night. And so what are we doing? We are immediately saying, all right, we've got to crush our homework.
Yep.
We've got to get baths. We've got to, get in anything else that needs to be done. Pick up the house. And then, unfortunately, what has been left out? It's that, hey, the conversations we need to have. It is the let's talk about where Jesus was in your day today. And so for us, we try to seize those moments. One of the things that I would challenge our listeners to do is that you are not probably going to find extra moments in your day.
Yeah.
If you are a parent that it's listening today, you are probably not just going to find extra pockets like, oh, look at this. I found a 3-hour time that I can really invest into my child. No, what we have tried to do is say we're going to take the existing time that we have, the calendar that we currently have, and we'll refine it, and it's going to be shaped and formed as necessary. But what we are also going to do is we're going to be very intentional about how is Jesus in this. And so if we're going to spend a decent amount of time in the car traveling back and forth to school mm-hmm. and to ball practices, then we're actually going to turn the radio off when we have our children in the
Jason.
Car. I know, it's crazy.
I mean,
it's crazy. Yeah, I know. But that's what we do. So yeah. I actually have I make the intentional effort of every time when my children are in the car, with us when we're going to school, coming back from school. There's, you know, some differences if it's we're on a long trip or something of that sort. But we're going to take that moment and we're going to talk about things like this. I have to be really careful. I'm sure this happens with you. What happens? What kind of question do you ask your children at the end of the day?
Well, I mean, you could, the go-to is how was your day?
Right. And so the go-to response for them is going to be good, fine, average. Huh? And that's where it's easy for the parent to say,
just stop.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. No, let's ask. I mean, I ask my kids the craziest, weirdest questions. I mean, they're like, why does dad have so much interest in what's on the lunch menu at school today? Or what game did you all play when you went out for recess? Because it just gives me the opportunity to hear them say, well, actually, so-and-so took the ball from me, and it made me really mad. And I get to say, okay, so where is Jesus in this? And what do we need to talk about? And how do we apply that passage that we've been reading in the evenings and things of that sort? Yep. So, again, it's just got to be intentional. You can't always just be proactive.
Well, and also I'm pretty confident there's probably some people listening to this that that might go the other direction. And kids have become an idol.
Right.
And they live for their children. Oftentimes you hear people say
– every weekend at the ballpark.
Absolutely. And you hear people say things like, they're my life. And that's really kind of celebrated in culture. We were watching America's Got Talent last night. And there was a singer on there, and she's a single mom, and she said, he's my life, he's my breath, he's my, and I'm going, wow, that's a lot of pressure on a young child, to become the life and breath of you. And then what we do is that's where hovering and helicoptering and hindering the growth comes in, because we see them as an idol that we must hold on to, a treasure that we can't let go of.
Right.
But the fact is, the treasure is the gospel, and we want the Lord to use the gift, the child that he's given us, for his glory, not our glory. Or if you're, maybe you're an athlete, but you weren't that good of an athlete, but it appears that your child is. And so we, for dads, this is kind of a mistake we make of we live through our child's athletic achievements.
Right.
And we grow that into an idol. And then we put all that pressure on them, to achieve and to excel. And it's just a dangerous place, and it's hard. It's very difficult to walk through that and know, okay, they're not my idol, but I would absolutely give my life for this child.
Right. I think I think it's sometimes misinterpreted that when we, even someone like you and I, when we're talking about, hey, let's put appropriate boundaries in here, sometimes that's misconstrued almost as a lack of love for our children. I mean, I will tell you, I mean, it is an incredible thrill to be a parent. I love it. I mean, Carrie and I have talked, a number of things have happened along our journey, and we've had miscarriages and some stuff of that sort. And so biological children, more biological children is not going to happen. We still are open towards adoption, foster care, and have done some of that stuff in the past. But we love parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes what people say, you know, or they think is someone who's not willing to go and go that extra mile, someone who's not willing to bring the water bottle to their little kid who forgot it at school, the person who's not going to go and mow down the coach and say, well, why don't you play my son or my daughter? Right. That almost that's an expression of a love that's second rate. Mm-hmm. And I think where we have to be mindful of, no, the greatest expression of love that we can show for our children is pointing them towards Jesus, who's ultimately going to be able to sustain them much longer than we are ever going to be able to do.
Yeah, and it is a beautiful thing to know that it's a beautiful thing to watch your children go into those tough moments, and you can watch and they come out stronger. They handle it well. That's just a beautiful – to me, that's what I love is I remember I was coaching a youth soccer league. I know nothing about soccer, but they needed volunteers. And, one of the kids, failed he had Down syndrome, and he fell while we were playing. He started crying, and the mom wanted so bad to run on the field. And I just kind of calmly said, just let's see what happens. And I watched this little boy who everyone would say couldn't handle himself, stand up and take it and walk through that moment in a beautiful way. And then I looked at the mom and watched as she got to see, wow, my kid can do this.
Right.
And he doesn't need me doing things all the time. It's a beautiful thing to parent that way and to watch our children as they grow into young men and young women. We'll be back. So as we come to another end of the show, you know, Jason, they say time flies when you're having fun. This was the longest hour of my life.
So, well, I actually,
you I'm made, kidding.
Yeah,
I'm
before
kidding.
The break, you made a really strong point about, you know, allowing a child to kind of pull themselves up. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's great. Really, really good. I will say I'm still a little distracted by the idea that you were coaching soccer.
Well, you know, and me too. Me, you know, the first game that I coached, the ball, I guess, I don't even know if they call it out of bounds. And I've never played a game of soccer in my life.
I played soccer.
And so they were like, okay, y'all need to throw it in. And I looked at the ref and went, can you show him how to do that?
I mean, I could, but I don't want to run out there on the
field.
Yeah,
that's one of those things where, you know, they needed volunteers and I was happy to do it. And I told them, look, I need the youngest kids that know nothing about this game because I'm going to have to YouTube all of this.
I love it.
To figure it out. So as we think about parenting and as we look at all of this, and sometimes parenting is overwhelming and it's tough, whether you have elementary kids, middle school kids, high school kids, or even grown-ups you're still struggling with and dealing with. What are some practical ways? What's one practical way you would point parents to, hey, this is something we can implement inside of our homes that might help with this process of parenting?
Well, I would start with just the really natural thing of don't do this in isolation. Yeah. I mean, it is absolutely critical. In fact, I just left our Shoreline campus not too long ago, earlier today, and we had an amazing group of ladies. Mm-hmm. They were all gathered for this thing we call Mom Life, and it's just this important time in their week where they can come alongside ladies who are parenting children and say, sometimes this is really hard, and if nothing else, I need some adult interaction. And the same is true for dads. Dads need that as well. And so I think I would just challenge people, do not attempt to be the expert and do not attempt to do it alone, because we really do need, whether it's just some counsel, some advice. One of the greatest gifts that's ever happened in our life is that we had people who had raised wonderful children that came alongside us and said, we just love to do life with you. And so they're almost kind of like adopted grandparents to our boys. And that's been a huge, huge blessing. So I would say, for starters, don't do this in isolation. What would you say?
Yeah, I would say specifically to dads out there, let your children see you do some of the things that society and culture say dads don't do. So change diapers, clean up spit up, clean up vomit. Do those things that are going to, for me, I want my son to see, okay, this is what a man does in the home. This is how a man leads. This doesn't mean that I'm exempt from changing diapers and other things, washing dishes or picking out clothes for the kids and I want my daughters to see, okay, it's not going to all be on my shoulders when I get married. It's a combination, and we're going to work together in partnership. And so I would just say it's okay to be engaged. And we talked briefly off air. I would also encourage you not to parent out of embarrassment.
Right.
At times we find ourselves in the grocery store, at a restaurant, and our kids may be being loud. They're not really being bad. They're just being a child. And we start to feel like eyes are on us. And the reality is, most of the time, the people that are looking at you are doing so in kind of a, in a judgmental way.
Right.
Every now and then you're going to have those.
Yeah, sometimes the bigger issue is our insecurity rather than
It's absolutely their our insecurity. Even this past Sunday, Charlie, our 8-month-old, was being vocal. Not crying, just being vocal. And I felt eyes. And I was like, oh, man, you know, it's being distracting. And when the service was over, the a family that I felt like they were putting eyes on us in a judgmental way come back and say, your baby is so precious and cute.
Oh, that's good.
And yeah, I wasn't
because that was the Shoreline Church.
Yeah.
So that makes me feel
better. So. They looked at Aaron and they looked at our child and they were like, you know, and we did the parent thing. Well, I'm sorry. And they were like, don't apologize.
Right, exactly.
This is beautiful. This is what it's about. And so don't let your insecurity force you to parent your child in the wrong direction. Embarrassment.
Right.
It's just part of life. You're going to be embarrassed. But the main takeaway from that is you're not going home with those people looking at you.
Yeah.
You're going to take those kids home with you. And how are you going to parent them? And
I'm embarrassed almost every week.
Yeah,
just hanging out with you
every day.
And we'll do it again next week.
And we will. See you next week.
And every knee will bend and touch the earth. Every tongue will say.